Thank you, guys. This morning, Dave's in Hudson Valley sharing for one of his good friends, Bobby Hargraves, and so he asked me to step in, and I did it with resistance, but I did it. And this morning, he asked me to share on evangelism. So if you have a Bible, I'd ask that you turn to Acts chapter 2. That's where we're going to spend most of our time. When we get to Acts chapter 2, we see that Jesus has just ascended into heaven, and he's left his apostles, he's left his disciples with his Holy Spirit. So they weren't alone. He has been doing bodily ministry with his disciples up until this point. And now when he goes and he ascends into heaven, he says, "Here's my Spirit to be with you." And today, we all have that same Spirit that is living inside of us if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so, you know, this morning, that's what I need. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure that's what you need, because apart from the Holy Spirit, I personally can't do anything. I'm weak and I'm weary and I'm easily given into things that I shouldn't be doing. And if it isn't for the Spirit of God continually to give me that love for his people, that love for him, then I can never do this on my own. So I want to start out in chapter 1, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to do this quickly. It says, "But you shall receive power." That's where I got the message of my teaching from, because I want to receive that power this morning. We need the power of the Spirit. "You shall receive that power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall witness unto me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." In chapter 2, verse 41, or verse 2, verse 41, it says, "Then that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Verse 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." In chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. Do you see the work that the Lord is doing in the book of Acts? It says in chapter 5, verse 14, "And believers were the more added to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women." Keep on going. In chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Chapter 8, it continues to happen. Chapter 9, verse 31, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Chapter 11, verse 21 says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto them." Jesus, we come before you this morning, God, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the same God today, yesterday, and forever. The same God that you were in the early church, God. You're the same God today, and you've given us your Spirit so that we would be able to walk uprightly with you, God. So that we would be able to be a witness to the world around us, Jesus. So I pray, Lord, now that you would go before me, God, as I believe you've given me a word to share with your people. I pray by your Spirit, God, we would be able to receive your word and not only hear it, but become doers of your word. We love you, Jesus, and we give you this time. Amen. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place." I love the day of Pentecost. I envy the day of Pentecost. I want the Spirit of God to fall in this place like he did on the day of Pentecost. It was like a rushing wind, the word says. And he came so heavily, His presence was so thick in that place that there was no denying it. People might think they were crazy. As we read, we will see that. People might think that they've lost their minds. And even to this day, you know, you tell people about Jesus and you have this joy in this world that is so lost and so hurt and such in pain, and they think you're crazy. And they think that you're crazy and maybe that you're in a cult. But the Lord had did a work in the early church, and we need him to do that work today, right? We need the Lord to continue to do that work. And I don't know about you guys, but the Lord's beginning to give me a burden for the lost more than ever. I think that that only comes from the Lord. Without his Spirit living inside of me, when I walked away from the Lord for a period of my life, I didn't have a love for other people like I should. I didn't have the love for the lost. I didn't care where they were going. I didn't even think about it, if I'm being truthful with you guys. But when we have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling inside of us, we begin to love other people. We begin to care about where they're going to spend their eternity. Do you guys believe today that there is a heaven and a hell? I was talking to a guy at my work the other day, and he was telling me about one of his friends that just passed away, and he said, I don't know really what to think about the afterlife. I don't know where people go. I don't know what comes next after this. But, you know, if there is a hell, I'm sure he's partying it up. And if there's a heaven, I'm sure he's doing fine. And you know, I'm thinking in my mind, man, these people are so lost. They have no idea that there's going to be a place to either be in the streets of gold with Jesus and finally put that face to everything we've worshiped, the name that we praise, the word that we read. We're going to be able to put our face or his face with his name. But then there's that place of damnation, of eternal suffering. And when we let that hit home, we start to have a burden for the lost. We start to care about where people are going to go. I think of it like this. If I had a cure for cancer, if I had a cure for these horrible diseases in this world, in this life that plagues us so heavily, and I had a cure for it, wouldn't I go out and wouldn't I give it to those people so they didn't have to suffer anymore? Of course we would. Of course we would. But why is it that when it comes to sharing the Word of God, the love of Jesus and the gospel, the good news, the truth, why is it that we're so hesitant? Why is it that I'm so hesitant? Is it embarrassment? Is it being ashamed? For me, I just don't want to stand out a lot of times. I just want to kind of stay under the radar. I kind of just don't want everyone to look at me like I'm crazy, if I'm being truthful with you guys this morning. I believe it in my heart. It's easy to say it in front of all you guys. Most of you guys believe what I believe. Most of you guys are here because we want to worship Jesus. But when you're out in that world and you're around heathens and people that are just doing what they know to do, it's difficult to stand up for Jesus. Is that right? For me, I work in a very worldly place. I work with a bunch of guys my age that talk about a bunch of things that shouldn't be talked about. And sometimes it's hard not to get caught up in those conversations, not to laugh at things that you shouldn't laugh at, not to say stupid things. Just the other day, I said something to one of my buddies, and he goes, aren't you a Catholic? Should you be talking like that? And I'm thinking, no, stupid, I'm not a Catholic. But in sincerity, I went home and I was condemned. I talked to Mary Ellie about it. I'm like, I blow it all the time. How am I supposed to go and give out the Word of God? How am I supposed to go and tell people about Jesus when I'm constantly blowing it? But that's exactly what it is. I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where to get the bread. So it's on Pentecost in verse 2 of chapter 2. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3 says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. These guys are in this room, and the Spirit falls for the first time so heavily in the place, and they start to be able to speak in different languages. They start to be able to talk to the people that are around them from different places and be able to speak in their language. Now, in America, most people speak English, right? I looked it up last night. I can't remember, but I think it's 74.8% of people in America speak English. And so we're not burdened with this as much, but we are burdened in needing the Holy Spirit to come and have us be able to relate to other people, have us be able to come and talk to other people, right? And these people are astonished. We'll continue to read, and we'll see that some people think they're crazy, and some people are ready just to receive the Word of God. And it's the same thing today. When you go out and you tell people about Jesus, some people are going to think you're a whack job. Other people are going to think, man, this is what I need in my life. Especially today, more than ever, people are desperate. People are hurting. People have no hope to see. You turn on the news, it's garbage. You go to your workplace, it's garbage. You go to school, it's garbage. Do you see what they're going to teach our kids in schools? Is your heart not burdened this morning? It's garbage. There's nothing but garbage in this world. So we need the Holy Spirit to come and to intervene and to give us a word to say to these people out in the world that don't know Jesus. We need to be able to go out and talk to them and tell them that there is a hope. There is a hope, and it's not a hope so that I don't know so. It's a hope so that I know so. It's a hope so that there's no question that I'm living this life for Jesus, because one day I'm going to be in heaven with Him. And all my pain and all my sorrow and everything that I'm suffering in this life and everything that's happening around me is going to be gone. All my tears are going to be wiped away. All my heartache is going to be gone, and I'm going to be before Jesus, and I'm going to be worshiping Him. The day of Pentecost, the upper room. Man, I wish I could have been there. The upper room, man, where the Spirit fell. That's what we need in the church today. We need the Spirit of God to fall. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit weren't just for back then. They're for today. The gifts of the Spirit are for today. They need to be done decently in order, of course, but the gifts of the Spirit are for today, and we need to use them. All of you guys have different gifts that God has called us to. I have different gifts than you, and we have different gifts, and we need to go out and use them. If you guys would have came into church this morning and I was up here leading worship and singing, you all would have bounced. Literally, you all would have bounced. The only one who would have stayed is my mom. And afterwards, she would have told me, Josiah, you have such a beautiful voice. But in all sincerity, we all have gifts that God has given us, but one gift that we all share is the gift to go and tell people about Jesus. That's not just our calling, that's our commission. We are commanded to go out and tell people about the love of Jesus. Listen, do you ever sit back and think about what Jesus has took you from, what He's restored you from? I sometimes get caught up with thinking, man, it was so good in the world at times. It was so fun at times. But what about what He's restored you of? What about what He's plucked you out of? How about that you don't have to go home every night and think about, what did I do? Who was I with? What did I say? Who did I hurt? Don't let the enemy lie to you. If you loved the world so much and you loved participating in those things, you would have never ran to the arms of Jesus. Last night, I went to go get my haircut at 9:30 at night because I needed a haircut for today. I need a haircut every week. I'm a barber, if you guys don't know that. But I need my haircut every week. And last night, I go up to the barber shop to get my haircut, and it's 9:30 at night. And a couple of my buddies are up there, and, you know, we're just hanging out. They're playing cornhole, we're talking, whatever. And they're having a couple beers and cigars, and nothing wrong with it, but I know the Lord's called me in a different place in my life. And sometimes I'm just thinking, like, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, it's so easy just to go with the flow of this world and just to partake in what they're partaking in and just not to be that weirdo who's preaching on a Sunday morning. You know, I tell them, you know, tomorrow I'm going to share the Word of God. And, you know, they were cool about it. They didn't say anything bad, but it's just sometimes I don't want to stand out like a sore thumb. And that's why I continually need the Lord to fill me with the Spirit, to give me the strength, to give me the empowerment to do so. Because if I try and do this on my own strength, man, I'm going to sink, and I'm going to sink quick. I'm going to start to participate in what everyone else is doing, and I'm going to do it quick. Unless I'm staying in fellowship with you guys, unless I'm reading my word, unless I'm praying, unless I'm in fellowship breaking bread. This is what the apostles did. We went to the Sandy Cove conference a couple weeks ago now. I think it was 2 weeks ago, right? And, you know, and the whole time what we did when we went and we broke bread together. We ate together. We prayed together. We poured out our hearts to each other. We talked truthfully to each other. We didn't try and act like we were holier than thou and you know, put on this persona. We were just real with one another. And we go to the conference, and as we go down, we always stop in Philadelphia on our way there. The conference is in Maryland, and we get the steak subs. By the way, Rochester steak subs are way better than Philadelphia's. No kidding. And we're out there, and we're comparing the two places, Geno's. What's the other one called? Geno's and Pat's. They both stink. Honestly, I'm being honest. Marticello's, Savastano's, my mom's, my wife's, way better. But we're down there and we're eating, and right away God begins to give us opportunity to start sharing his gospel. And there's this guy, and he's sitting there, and you could tell that he has things going on in his life. And, you know, I went over there and I began to talk to him. And then there's another man next to him, and Lou gets real close, snuggled up to him, and starts talking to him. And when I'm talking, I'm constantly praying in my head that, Lord, you would give me the words to say, that you would give me the ability to be able to relate to this man. He's much older than I am. He's in a different state of life than I'm in. How am I going to relate to him? Would you give me the words? Would you give me the spirit to care about him, to care where his soul might go if he doesn't know you? So then we go and, you know, we continue our journey. We get to the conference and we sit and we hear the word of God and we hear testimonies and we hear all these different stories from all these different men, and the Lord's stirring up our hearts and he's speaking to us. And then on our way home, the Lord had a plan. The Lord had a plan for us to run into different men and see salvation come to pass. I mean, when you see salvation happen, it stirs your heart in a way that I can't explain. So we stopped back in Philly, got more food, talked to more people, but then finally, I think it was like 8:30 at night, we stop in Syracuse and we go to Possibilities, and we're there a little earlier than our reservation should be. So we're sitting at the table outside. And we start to, I think actually as soon as we got out of the van, there was a man picking bottles, and we got to speak to him. Anyways, there was so much that happened. It was crazy, and I know that the Lord was there that night with us, and he had a plan for us to be in Syracuse that night. So we're out there, we're having coffee, we're waiting for our table to get called, and as we're doing so, I see a guy across the street, and he's kind of, you know, he's a homeless man, he's hurting, and he's acting outrageous. You know, he's kind of doing one of these over and over again. And I don't know what it was, but I don't know if it was just because he was nuts, but we were drawn to this guy. I was drawn to this guy. And I said to Larry, I go, I need to talk to him. I don't know what it is, but I need to talk to that man. And he said to me, just wait. He's belligerent right now. Now's not the time. So I listened to his words, and we went inside, we ate, we broke bread again, and, you know, we even prayed, we talked about what we learned, and we come back out,
And man, it was crazy. It was crazy, and the enemy didn't want it to happen. The enemy wanted to stop it with all his might. We go to a convenience store, and we go in, we buy a bunch of stuff, we come out, we're standing outside of the convenience store, and the owner comes out, this big, tall, I think Arabian dude, ponytail. He comes out and he says, you know, what are you guys doing? And I think I was the one who said, we're just standing out here talking. Is that okay? And he said, well, if it's just for a few minutes, that's fine. And one of the guys we're with said, hey, where are you from? And the guy went off on us. And it was crazy. It was like we said something so disrespectful. Because the enemy knew what was to come. So we walk away, and not even halfway down the street, a girl starts screaming at us because she saw our encounter with this man, and it was just so bizarre. And then when we get to the corner of the street, here it comes. There's this guy who is desperate, and he is in need to hear the word of God. And one of the guys who was with us is beginning to talk to him, and they're talking about Israel and the Jews and just the end times, the things that are coming. I mean, Dave's been preaching to us in Revelation, and the end times are coming, and I mean, it's just on our hearts now more than ever, right? And so Mike, he's beginning to talk with this guy, and there's some bizarre things that are taking place, but not even 5 minutes into the conversation, you see the kid crying on his shoulders, receiving Jesus. Exchanging phone numbers, and a true salvation, a true wanting to come to the knowledge, saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so there's that man standing across the street that I first told you about when we're at the restaurant, and he's, we see him, and he's across the street, and he's dancing. And me and Dave, we're standing across the street from him, and I'll tell you this because Dave's not here. Dave goes, I love you. I love you. And finally, the man comes walking over to us, and there was a group of us over there at this point, and the guy comes over. He's homeless. He's drunk. If he's not drunk, he was drunk. And, you know, he's obviously in shambles. His life is obviously a mess. So he comes on over, and he introduces himself to us. We all shake his hand, and he could tell, of course, I'm the jerk that was resistant to shake his hand. If you don't know me, I'm kind of a skeeve. I don't know. It's just the way I am. And the Lord used it, though, because when I did, I went out, and I shook his hand, and, you know, and I introduced myself to him, and I said, I'm so sorry if I offended you, you know, and I used my kidney failure as an excuse, and I said, I have a weak immune system, but the Lord used it because it opened up him to start telling us that, you know, he was in the service, and he had been shot 4 times, so I guess he was in the war, and he begins to just open up his heart. He begins to start telling us about his life. He's telling us that he doesn't have a relationship with his kids, and he tells us all this brokenness that has taken place in his life. He's a man that has no hope. He's a man that doesn't know where to turn. Well, I can't blame him. Of course he turned to the bottle. Of course he turned to drugs. Where are you supposed to turn to if you don't know where to turn to? You can't blame the world for what they're doing. They know no better. We knew no better before somebody told us about Jesus. That's what the church is called to do. You guys know that, right? That we're called to go tell other people about Jesus. That is how we develop the church. The church isn't the building. The church is us who's in the church. And we need to go out and we need to make other believers. So
So we keep on talking to this man, and you could see his heart is beginning to soften, and we try to go get food for him, but at this point, everywhere's closed. So guess where we had to go back? The convenience store that we had. It was crazy. But anyway, we got him a ton of food, and we began to tell him about Jesus. Dan shared the gospel with him, the good news, and the guy couldn't even believe it. He said he couldn't even believe that Jesus would want a man like him. He couldn't even understand it. He couldn't even grasp it. Don't you ever feel that way? That you can't understand why God would want you? God, why would you use me? Why would you want me? I feel that way. And you could see it in the man's eyes that there was a sincere wondering why God would want him. And he couldn't believe it. He kept going, yes! Yes! Would you guys pull up the picture of the group of us with this man? Look at him. It was amazing. So we keep on telling the man about Jesus, and he receives Jesus into his life as his Lord and Savior. Amen. And then we just begin to love on him. We began to give them clothes. There was a bunch of guys who stayed in the van because we didn't want to overwhelm them. And they all started jumping out, and people are emptying their suitcases. We're giving them pants. We're giving them pillows. We're giving them every... He said, I need underwear. Larry just bought a brand new package of underwear. Just bought a brand new package of underwear and gave this man underwear. I mean, we just started to love on him. So I want to mention a couple key points before we continue moving on. When you go out and you witness, Dave asked me to give you guys some points that I took out of my experience. And the first point that I have is that you need to have a pure heart, a heart that actually cares, not just a heart that is. Ungenuine. I hate that. I don't want to be ungenuine. I want to be sincere. I want to have a pure heart for these people, for the lost. The second thing is that you would truly listen and care. I don't know about you guys, but I'm being serious when I tell you this. I talk to people all day for a living, and sometimes when I'm talking to people, it goes right in one ear and out the other. I have no clue what they're saying. I'm being sincere, and I need the Lord to give me a desire to care about what these people are going through, the pain and the suffering that they've endured. And that's my third point, that we would show empathy. That we would show empathy. And how do you show empathy? You got to relate to these people. In the best way that you can, in the way that you know how. It's so important that, like I mentioned before, that we don't forget where God has taken us from. And we give thanks to Him daily that He has plucked us out of this world, out of the miry clay. And my fourth point is that you would be trustworthy. I don't want to talk to somebody that I can't trust. I don't want to give my secrets. I don't want to give my hardships. I don't want to tell you what I'm struggling with if I can't trust you. Build a relationship. Sometimes, it's somebody that you meet on the street that you have the opportunity to share the gospel with, but sometimes it's building that relationship with that person. You don't have to just go and shove the word of God down somebody's throat right away. You don't have to just be crazy about it right away, unless, you know, that's what the Lord's doing, but you don't have to do that. Why don't you build a relationship with them? Be trustworthy. Let them know that you're loyal. That is something I thrive myself on being, is loyal. I don't ever want to be disloyal to nobody, especially the people I care about. Even the world hates when you're not loyal. And my last point is that you would pray for divine intervention. We need divine intervention. We need the Holy Spirit. I don't have the words to tell somebody. I don't have the words to comfort somebody. I don't have the words to give somebody hope. Verse 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it fell all the houses where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. They were confused. They couldn't believe it. Verse 7 says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we're born? And then he goes on in verse 9, 10, and 11 to speak of the different languages. And at the end of verse 11, it says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. Some people thought they were drunk. People thought they were crazy. Other people thought, man, this is what I've been waiting to hear. So when you go out and you tell people about the love of Jesus, you're going to get both. You can't quit. You can't give up when somebody doesn't believe what you're telling them. They don't want to hear it. I went out the other night. When Dave asked me to share, I told you guys I was hesitant. I went out the other night and I tried to force evangelism. I went out by myself and I said, Lord, if you really want to use me, then save somebody tonight. Nobody got saved. I went out and I'm talking to this lady about Jesus, and she said, no offense, but I don't want to hear it anymore. What do? You don't keep on shoving it down their throat. That's not what you do. All right, I respect that. And I walked away. But guess what? Maybe today or that day wasn't the day for her to be saved, but at least I planted a seed. At least I told her about the love of Jesus. Now, verse 14, man, I love this. I love this. Listen, Peter, 7 weeks prior to this sermon that he's about to give, was denying Jesus. Does that bring chills to you? That 7 weeks before maybe possibly one of the greatest sermons ever given, Peter was out and he was denying Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times did he deny Jesus. He wasn't just somebody that knew Jesus from afar, but he was somebody who walked with Jesus. And he denied him. And Jesus still chose to use him only 7 weeks later. To use them in a great way. Possibly one of the greatest sermons ever preached. Inspired by the Holy Ghost. Paul. What about Paul? A man that sentenced people to prison, sentenced people to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And look at how God used him. You know why I love this? Because I could relate to these men. I've done things that are shameful. I don't always walk uprightly, but I know that God still wants to use me. And I love that. And today, God still wants to use you. He still has a plan for you. He still has a purpose for you. Young, old, white, black, man, female, it doesn't matter. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life, and he wants to use you. Verse 14 says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this unto you, and hearken my words. Verse 15, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. It's only the third hour of the day. You think these guys are wasted already? But this is what which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. I think that Peter was talking about the last days back then, but I think we could relate it to now as well, that we're coming to the last days, and we need the Spirit to intervene like he's never done before. We need it to be like that day of Pentecost where his Spirit just fell.
It fell in a real way. It fell in a mighty way. The walls were shaking. People were ready to receive. Hearts were ready to receive. Today, right now, people's hearts are ready to receive. People's hearts don't know what to turn to. They don't know what to look to. People's hearts are ready to receive, and we need to be the vessel that God has called us to be, to go out and tell them about eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. I can't wait to see my Maker's face. Jesus doesn't discriminate. The young men, the old men. Verse 18 says, "And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Listen, the gift of tongues is awesome, and it's good, and it's utterance to the Lord that he can interpret, and only he understands. But to be able to go out and to tell people about Jesus, to prophesy, to let people know that what's to come. You know, we know what's next on the timeline. We believe that the rapture is next on the timeline. And to be able to go out and tell the people that, hey, listen, there is a hope and Jesus is coming for his church. You better get ready. You better get ready. Do you believe that the Word of God is 100% truth? Do you believe that it's 100% inspired by God himself? Because if you do, then there's no reason why we should doubt that he's coming back for the church. There's no reason that we should doubt that he has heaven all ready for us. He has our mansions all set up for us. He has the place where we're going to worship him every day for us. If you don't enjoy worshiping Jesus on this side of eternity, then you probably don't want to go to heaven. Because that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping Jesus. I told Sonny, he's my 2-year-old baby boy, I told him that I was, you know, I'm going to be coming up and sharing for Uncle D. And I had my notes out and I had my Bible out, and he goes in front of my TV and he starts to pretend like he's preaching. He's speaking in gibberish. I can't understand most of the words he's saying, but he says, "Jesus, healing, medicine." And I'm like, man, this kid has no clue what he's saying, but it's ministering to my heart. Because Jesus is the medicine, he's the healing that the world needs today. Amen. Worship team, you could come forward. I want to read from verse 41 to the end of the chapter. It says, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Man, that had to be one of the biggest gatherings, one of the biggest feasts to attend, and people had no clue what was about to hit them. People had no clue the way the Spirit of God was about to fall. And what he was going to do, there was guys there who were religious leaders. There were people there that were heathens, and they had no idea what the Spirit of God was about to do. And it says, on the first day, about 3,000 came to Christ. Don't you want to be a part of a work like that? Don't you want to be used by the Spirit of God in such a way where you see salvation be brought forth? Doesn't it stir your heart? When we were out on those streets, man, my heart was so stirred up. My heart was so ready to keep on going out and telling people about Jesus. We didn't want to stop. We got to Rochester, and we're like, man, let's see if anyone's out on the streets. We stopped at the bus station or the little hubs on the side of the street, and we got to see people. We just unloaded the van with every piece of food that we had left, and we just started giving it out because our hearts were burdened for the lost. Our hearts were burdened for these people that were hurting. We need the Lord to give us a heart that cares about these people. In verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." If you want to keep walking with Jesus, if you want to keep on going forward with Jesus, if you want him to take you into deeper waters today, you have to continue in these three main things. Worshiping God, staying pure to him, reading his word, praying to him, and fellowship. How important is fellowship? I need you guys. I can't do this without you guys. I get bombarded by the world every single day when I'm not here. Wednesday nights, you need to come out and you need to hear Dave preach. He's going to be here this Wednesday. Make sure you come and hear him, because we need to be renewed by the Spirit of God. It's not only about hearing the Word of God. It's about going out and giving out the Word of God. You need to get filled up so you could get emptied. You need to get filled up so you could get emptied. But listen, I need you guys. I need the fellowship. Without you guys, I'm going to fall. We're going to fall. We're going to crumble. In verse 43, it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that were baptized together, and all had things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man needed." Look, we just saying, hey, I'm in all the way. I'm not in halfway anymore. I've played that game. I've done church half in, half out. I had a heart that was for Jesus, but I had a heart that was for the world. Be done with the games. There's no time for the games. It's time to get serious about Jesus. It's time to be real. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be one person here and one person out there. I want to be consistent in who I am. It's time for the Spirit of God to fall in your life. If you've never been baptized by the Spirit of God, pray that He would baptize you in His Spirit, that He would give you strength, that He would give you boldness, holy boldness that comes from heaven. I want to have a tongue for heaven, a tongue that encourages, a tongue that gives people hope, not a tongue for hell that tears people down, that partakes in the things that only are going to destroy us. The closing verse says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Lord, that's our prayer this morning, that you would continue to add to the church, that you would use us, Jesus, as your instruments, as your vessel. God, we don't want to play games. We want to be real. We want to be sincere with you, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be half in and half out. We give you everything that we are this morning, Jesus. We pray that you would renew us by your Spirit, that you would fill us with the Holy Ghost. God, when we leave here today, that we wouldn't just forget about what we've learned, that, Lord, like so many other conversations, it goes in one ear and out the other, but today, Lord, that we would go out and give the world what we have learned. We thank you for your word, Jesus. And Lord, real quick, we just pray for Dave as he's preaching right now, God, that you would use him mightily out in Hudson Valley. We pray, God, that you would give him a word for those people out there, Jesus. We thank you for this time. It's in your name we pray. Amen.